Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is Vince Everett Ellison, and he's written a book called The Iron Triangle, Inside the Liberal Democrat Plan to Use Race to Divide Christians and America in Their Quest for Power and How We Can Defeat Them. Vince, that's quite a subtitle there. Again, the name of the book is The Iron Triangle, and his website, by the way, is irontrianglebook.com. Vince, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Jerry, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Okay, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into the issue. Well, why did you decide to write this book?
Well, Jerry, I was born on a cotton plantation in Haywood County, Tennessee. And my father was a sharecropper. Me and three of my siblings were born in a shack with no running water, no indoor plumbing.
Well, can I stop you for a second? Can I stop you? How old are you, Vince?
I'm 57 years old.
Okay. Wow. All right, go on.
My father aspired to do better, and he got involved in the insurance industry, and he pulled us out of poverty. And when I was 8 years old, he pulled us out of that shotgun shack and bought us a brick house, and he still lives in it to this day. And but he taught me about hard work, belief in God, and we started a gospel singing group called the Ellison Family. And we did records and albums and sung around the United States of America singing good gospel music. And I lived a pretty good life as a kid. And I went off to college and played a little football at University of Memphis State at the time. And when I left Memphis, I started working in the prison industry. And that's when my direction changed, and I thought we had to overcome. I was a correctional officer at a national security prison in South Carolina. And I saw that and this was during the 90s when they were locking up black men with the Clinton crime bill. South Carolina had three prisons in 1980. And by the end of the 90s, they had 40 prisons because they had just decided that they were going to lock black men up, three strikes and you're out, you know, the cocaine crack thing. And so I started asking the black intelligentsia, I said, man, what's going on? Look like we're going backwards. And they said, well, man, it's about, you know, those rich white Republicans, man. They're locking up black men. They're evil. They're demonic. And they're just locking. They hate black people. So I resigned my post as a correctional officer and started a nonprofit to try to stop locking up these black young men. And when I got down into the black community, I found something very, very, very interesting. I saw no rich white Republicans down there. All I saw were black Democrats. And it was this entity that had all the control and was reaping profit from the chaos. And I call these guys the Iron Triangle. They were most black preachers, most black civic organizers, and most black politicians. And they were paid contractors paid by white liberals to keep the black community under control for one end, to get 90% of the vote for the Democratic Party and take power in America. That was it, point blank, period. So that's where the Sharptons come from, the Jesse Jacksons come from, NAACP, Black Lives Matter, and all the black politicians like Cliver and the rest of them. They come from that ilk. Black people give no money to these organizations. Nothing. They get their money from rich white liberals, and they hide the contribution. You can't get the NAACP to tell you who gives them their money. These politicians, as you know, all the money goes to the DNC, and then it goes right to them. And these black churches, the same exact thing. Souls to the polls, street money, walking around money, all of it from rich white liberals designed to do one thing and one thing only. Keep the black community poor, uneducated, on dope, pull out the police, take out the black father, keep them under control for white liberals so they can vote for the Democratic Party. And that's why I called my book The Iron Triangle. So I explain to conservatives why the black community votes 90% Democrat and what we can do about and what we can do. And the one thing the liberals do well is they whisper in the ear of Christian conservatives, a black Christian conservatives, that your white Christian conservatives are your enemy. And they keep us separated because the black people listen to the word of Jesus Christ, listen to the laws of the New Testament. They would not vote for abortion. They would not vote for LGBTQ. They would not vote to have prayers taken out of their schools. And they would defend their communities with their lives because that's what our Bible teaches us. So when they go in and whisper in their ear to not listen to Christianity, they're telling them to be slaves. And that's what's happening.
Wow. Let me ask you this. What do you think about the Trump prison reform from a couple years ago?
Oh, it's very great because Joe Biden, as you know, wrote the Clinton crime bill. And, here's the strange thing about it. You know, when you look at the statistics, the Washington Post did a great story on June 4th. It said that since 1968, there hadn't been any narrowing in the wealth gap between black and white people. Since 1968, Harvard just conducted a study that said schools are more segregated now than they were in before Brown versus the Board of Education. We have 10 times more black men in prison. We're aborting half of our children. We have people rioting in the streets, burning up their grandmother's neighborhoods, and Joe Biden and the Democrats say they're proud of their record in the black community. Now, black people are rioting, so they can't be happy, right? But these guys say that they're proud of their record. So, you know, if they're getting 90% of the vote, they're not going to change the thing.
Wow. And yet, you know, you see this incredible scenario, and then there, you know, some of the pollsters are saying, well, supposedly, you know, Trump can't even win re-election, which I find that hard to believe, but that's what they're saying.
Well, no, that's not going to happen. I just saw a Pew poll. People can look it up themselves if they don't believe me. That says that 83% of the people marching in these Black Lives Matter protests are not black. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
Only 17% of the people marching in these protests are black people. So you got black paying for white liberal gain. And this is why you see Black Lives Matter moving. It's not because black people are in control of it. It's because white liberals are in control of it. Think about this absurdity. You got people supporting, talking about they want to end racism in America, right? But they're supporting a group that calls themselves Black Lives Matter, who want to take down a statues of Jesus because he looks white. And they say they want to end racism? No, they're using race. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what my book talks about. They don't want to end racism. They want to exploit racism.
Wow.
So what's going on here with black people, and this is where we can stop this thing as citizens, conservatives, Christians, Muslims, Jews. You know, the opposite of love is not hate. It is indifference. And right now, black people believe that conservatives, white and black, are indifferent toward them. There's an old Vaudevillian term that says 10% of any gig is just showing up. Democrats show up, conservatives don't. End of story. And if you don't show up, they believe that they have no connection with you whatsoever. So how do we fix it? We have to start showing up again. We've been waiting for the RNC and the NRCC and the GOP to do what we should be doing. They are not funding any candidate, black or white, that run in these areas. Zero. The black people down there have a choice between a liberal and an ultra-liberal. That's it. No other help from the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is no longer around. See, in that story, the man that was beaten up and left for dead, he thought the Samaritan was his enemy. But the Samaritan was not his enemy. The Samaritan knew he wasn't his enemy. So when he saw him in danger, he went and got him, took care of him. And the man that he thought was surprised, because he had been told by the Levite and the priest that the Samaritan was his enemy. We are, black people down in the ghetto are being told that we are their enemy. But we're not. But we have to do what the Good Samaritan did. We have to go show ourselves to them and say, we're here to help you out. All we got to do is remind them who they are. Tell them and remind them that Jesus knows your name. Every hair on your head is counted. He loves you so much, he died for you. You are not a victim. You are not oppressed. You can't be looked down on because you're a son of God. Stand up. Throw back your shoulders, look them in the eye, and say, I can have everything I want if I apply myself. We just have to remind them, because 85% already say they're Christian. 75% of black people say that. White folks say they're Christian. But black people vote liberal. Most white Christians vote conservative. Why would we believe the same thing? It's the snake in the garden. When you find conflict, always look for that third person that's whispering in your ear. And the liberals are the snake in the garden. They are anti-Christian. Black Lives Matter will tell you that they're Marxist. What is a Marxist? A Marxist is an anti-Christian, anti-Western civilization, anti-family. They don't hide it. But because we don't go down in, the Christian brothers, they are siding with the devil. The devil is taking over that place because we won't go and help them fight it. And that is the challenge today, to get us to go back down there. We evangelize all over the world, don't we? We go to Asia, Africa, Europe. We're like a father that pictures everybody else's house and has his roof leaking in his own house. We got to go back and get our own.
Well, wait. When you say go down there, I mean, for example, I'm thinking, okay, I need to go and show up at some sort of protest and counter protest.
No, not with these mobs. No. What you need to do is go to your church and tell your church, let us take a bus, two buses, down to this black church and sit down with them in the congregation and let the people know we love them. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
On Sunday morning, let's go. We're not going to ask permission. We're going to go. And we're going to hug people. And we're going to talk to people. And we're going to tell them we love you. And that's how you change this. You're not going to ask the government's permission for that. You're not going to even ask that black preacher's permission for it because he is an apostate, usually. Usually. Wow. So you go straight to the people. Did Jesus go to the Romans and ask permission to preach the gospel?
No,
he did not. He did it. So we have gotten to a point where we're almost like the liberals wanting permission. We shouldn't be asking for school vouchers and school choice. We should just be building school.
You know,
we have the money.
Yeah. Go back to the thing about the ministers. So you're saying that a lot of the black churches, the leadership within the churches, they're corrupt. Maybe even on the take.
Yes. You have black leaders supporting politicians that support abortion. How do you do that? When the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, AME Church, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, you name them, Catholic Church, all of them are against it. They're against homosexuality. All of them are. Yeah, they support politicians that support abortion, homosexuality, and taking prayer out of school. And guess why they do it? I have a chapter in my book that talks about souls to the polls, when there's early voting in a state. The George Soros and his group will send buses to these churches and they'll take their people to the polls to vote Democrat. I got another chapter that talks about walking around money, street money. How when there's an election, how they give all this money out and they buy bars of liquor and fish sandwiches and give people $5 and $10 a piece to vote for Democrat. Yes, they do it. Mm. This is not hyperbole. I have facts in my book.
Right.
And the black preacher is behind it 100%. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and most of these black preachers are stone-cold Democrats, and they're contractors, and every 2 years they get paid. Wow. And I'm saying this on your radio station, and if they refuse to tell them, come see me, because I have my facts. They're not going to say anything about it, because they know if they try to refute me, that I'll put the facts right in their face.
Wow. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry?
No, you finished your thought.
So your listeners buy my book and get the facts, because before we can go down there and start dealing with our people, we have to be armed. And when I say go, that means talk to your coworker at the job. Talk to your neighbor. Talk to your friend. Have the information. Pull up my website, irontrianglebook.com. I spent a lot of money on that website, man. Use it. Say, here, look at this guy. Everybody has an iPhone. Pull it up. Show them some of the stuff I say and tell them to refute it. As I tell you, my facts are irrefutable. I tear down many myths in that book.
Okay, one popular thing, or it's gaining popularity, is the idea of reparations. What are your thoughts on that? We have about a minute left.
It's ridiculous because it won't stop there. When Dr. King said in his I Have a Dream speech, they said, when will you be satisfied? When will we be satisfied? He said, we will never be satisfied until justice rolls down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. That is just a fancy way of saying never. They will never be satisfied. These people will take until the host is dead. White conservatives have nothing more to apologize for. Forgiveness cannot be earned, wanted, or expected. We repented, a million in the Civil War almost, $22 trillion since the Great Society. You tell these jokers when they come to you again, look in your face, talk about white supremacy or white privilege, you say you are a slave looking for a master. And I will not be your master. Go to one of your white liberal Democrats who want to be your master. And go to him. I will help you exercise your freedom. I will help you pick yourself up. I will help you go forward. But I will no longer carry your burden of wretchedness. Stand up and be a man. That's what you tell him from here on out.
Wow.
And that's what my book says. So no longer walk around in condemnation.
All right.
In the name of God.
We're basically out of time. IronTriangleBook.com. The author is Vince Everett Ellison, who's been our guest for this segment. Thank you so much, Vince. All the best.
It was my pleasure. God bless you.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye.